Good morning, everybody. How are you? It is not quite sweltering as it has been in California. Welcome to my podcast, my Christian walk, or as they say in Spanish, mi waco de Cristiano. No, I'm joking. That's not how it goes. Today, I'm going to continue y'all in the book of Genesis. And I've skipped over some parts, and I've resumed now with Noah. And this is chapter 6. And I like to change it up sometimes and do this because you go right into God's word. And, you know, I was talking to somebody yesterday about a podcast that is out there with Joe Rogan and this other guy making kind of a friendly debate about the existence of God. And they were talking about evolution and the holes in evolution in terms of the scientific explanation for life. And one of the things that was said, which I'll explain why that ties into this in just a moment. One of the things that was said by, I can't remember his name. It was Joe Rogan. I didn't even know it was Joe Rogan. It didn't sound like Joe Rogan from his podcast because he had a cold. But it was this other really brilliant guy. And he was talking about how when scientists look at life and they look at the embedded code or codes, plural, in the way us humans, allegedly, were created, that there is so much sophistication to the identifying grids, if you will, that we have within us, that scientists are baffled. And you know why? Because we were created. it's just so understandable that man in our nature is always looking for ways to talk ourselves out of the existence of God. And that comes straight from the pit of hell, y'all. It does. You know, one of the things I'm sidetracking a little bit, but I will get this back to Genesis. One of the things that I am thoroughly convinced to myself is that left to my own devices, my own morality code, my own, playbook for how I'm gonna live my life, I'm a pretty terrible person. And by that, I don't mean if we look at, certain behaviors that people do that are heinous. What's heinous? Okay, I don't kill people, I'm not a serial killer, I don't do this, I don't do that, Those are the biggies, right? But you know what? In God's eyes, it's all sin, yo. It all comes from the same cesspool of evil. And we all have that embedded propensity to do bad shit. Yes, I said shit. That's part of me. It's part of who I am. It's why I love doing this podcast. I get a vehicle to express myself and to talk about things related to faith and spirituality that are very important to me. So let's get on with it. The flood, chapter 6. I'm going to read. Here's how it's going to go down. I'm going to read a little bit, then I'm going to talk a little bit. Then I'm going to read a little bit, then I'm going to talk a little bit. Okay? It goes like this. When men, began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God. Now, let me try this again. When men began to increase in number on the earth and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they married, and any of them they married any of them they chose. Then the Lord said, "My spirit will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. His days will be 120 years." Hold the bus. This is very, very fascinating. So, chapter 6 starts out with kind of giving a progress report of how man's doing. How man saw these women and they were beautiful and they married, and primary motive, objective, to procreate, to have sex and procreate. Wow, there's nothing startling there, right? Then it says, and the Lord said, "My spirit will not contend with man forever." Now that's interesting. My spirit will not contend with man forever. Meaning what? My interpretation that God is saying there will be an end point to this mortal life. as man is mortal, my spirit will not you see, we got to remember something, y'all. God is so righteous, and he is so all-knowing, and he's so awesome, and yet the sinner that I am, I will throw out a litany of God's name in vain curse words. I'm a flipping idiot, okay? Idiot. I don't do that and just, you know, dismiss it. I go, geez, I shouldn't have done that, man. It's like my nature, my sin nature jumps out so quickly, you know, that it's scary. It's scary. And God is saying, you know, I will not contend with man forever, for he is mortal. God is immortal. We are immortal, by the way, but we are mortal on earth, and then we transcend that when we pass and we go somewhere else forever. And he says, man's days will be 120. And then it says the Nephilim were on earth in those days, and also, and I'm assuming that's the name of a tribe, and also afterwards when the sons of God went to the daughters of men. Let me repeat that. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterwards when the sons of God went to the daughters of men and had children by them, they were the heroes of old men of renown. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on earth had become, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. I'm going to get to this in a moment, explain it. The Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. So the Lord God said, I will wipe mankind whom I have created from the face of the earth, men and animals and creatures that move along the ground and birds of the air. I am grieved that I have made them. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is sobering, y'all. Number one, let's say something that's very important. If we don't have faith, none of this shit makes sense. If we don't have faith, none of this shit makes sense. When I read that, as God is my witness, I can relate to the portion that says, every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. We have to remember that God is looking at us from his position of all perfect love, his omnipotent nature, his perfect sense of justice and righteousness. Now, if God is all that, and I believe he is, then he knows our fallibilities. He knows our struggles. Do we really think that God is wanting us to be perfect on our own? No. Let alone a man, would never think that. What man would say, yeah, you can be perfect. Yeah, you can resist every temptation. Yeah, you don't have to follow your heart. You can just, you know, be selfless and loving and just forgive everybody on your own. Okay, well, if that was the case, and many people believe that, you know, the people without faith who just rely on their own capacity, flawed capacity, to be a good person. You know, God said that there's nothing good enough, and I'm paraphrasing, that we could ever do that could bring us to his favor. You know, the bar is just set that high, y'all. It's like wanting to date a really hot chick and her bar is like way up here and you're going, yeah, but I work out. I can do it. You know, come on. I'm 60, but I look 40. You know, come on. Ain't gonna happen. Now, maybe that's not a good analogy, but my point is we don't measure up. And the people at this time were not measuring up. And God is saying, as documented in Genesis, I have made a mistake. But more importantly, he's saying that it pains me. He's saying that I am sad. I'm in deep pain over the behavior of my creation. And if God created us, God can wipe us away. That's the thing that people who are not believers don't understand about God. You know, it's a small thing. It's the whole creation aspect that people just... And the reason that's so important, I'm laughing, is because that is the foundation of even the existence of Christ, who was before the world was. See, Christ wasn't just, as some idiots, I'm sorry, I'm going to get on a soapbox here, like to say, who don't know Jesus. Well, who do you think Jesus is? If you're ever arguing with a New Age or a secularist, they'll say, oh, you know, he was a great prophet. No. Oh, he was like one of the, you know, great teachers. No. Look, if you're going to deny Christ, then deny the Christ. Don't deny your cardboard cutout revisionistic definition of who Christ is. Because that's not who Christ was, is, or ever said he was. You know, it was C.S. Lewis that said in Mere Christianity, wonderful, highly recommend it. Get it on YouTube, man. It's like 5 flipping hours. It'll take you a week to listen to it. You know, and C.S. Lewis says, you know, Christ was either Christ or he was like the most biggest psychopath that ever lived. Craziest, you know, most evil guy in the world. Because who did Christ say he was? Christ said he was the Alpha and the Omega. Then nobody comes to the Father but through him. Now, listen, y'all. Yeah, we could go around and tout shit. You know, we could be David Koresh. We could be all these other morons that start these cults. L. Ron Hubbard, all these morons. And we could go and, you know, do all this elaborate, you know, just for profit building of systems. And, you know, people will blindly go to that. You know why? Because there's another power in the world. That's the devil. The devil will lead us to our demise by steering us away from God. Away from God. You know, I think all the time, personally, and I'm not going to read any more in Genesis because I'm going to continue on this talking jag about this, but, you know, God is God. You know, it's not like people say, well, if he's God, then how could, you know, why would he make a mistake? It's not the point, people. It's not the point. The point is, in this passage, it's talking about the existence of evil and temptation. I mean, he doesn't say, well, you know, man's kind of doing bad shit every now and then, and yeah, it just kind of bums me out. No. God is saying, let me read it again because it's so sobering. The Lord saw how great man's wickedness on the earth had become. It's the seduction process, y'all. Evil and the devil works very meticulously. And it continues, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only, not some of the time, only evil all the time. And it says, and this is where it's important, the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth. And his heart was filled with pain. People, it grieves God. It pains God when we do bad. When I was just a flipping idiot and I had, you know, indoctrinated in Catholicism when I was a kid. And by the way, I'm sorry, Catholics, your system sucks, okay? It ain't the truth. There ain't no apostolic line, yo. Oh, the apostle, you know, the truth. You hear Catholics pontificate about the tradition of the church. Look, it's cool. I don't mind going to a mass. I think it's a beautiful event. Do I really believe Jesus is in the host? No. Okay? No. Do I really believe Jesus said, this is my body? You know, No. He was using it as a symbol. These weren't cannibals. He wasn't a cannibal. Now, does it mean that when you go to a Catholic church and you participate in the sacrament of communion, that taking that host and eating it isn't symbolic and a good reminder, and that you don't like get the warm fuzzies and feel that Jesus is in you? Yeah, to a degree, I guess. Just like when I pray, I feel better in spirit. I get in spirit. When I'm doing this, I get in spirit. This is like a little, needle of spirit drug, of Jesus drug, of God drug that I'm injecting into myself, and I'm able to pour it out to whoever the hell is listening to this. That's why I do it. I certainly don't do it for, I can make money at this. No. It's why when I look at people that abuse power and money and only focus on that to grow more money, more money, more money, more money, more money, I say, get that shit away from me, okay? I don't need to be tempted to monetize what I say. And in closing, about God, by the way, in closing, let this be a reminder, it certainly is to me as I'm saying the words right now, that when we do bad, make no mistake, my opinion, if you are honest about yourself, you're going to say you are the worst of sinners. Not that you're good, not that you don't need God, not that you think all people are good. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. According to God, you might know the secular world, you might know what Satan is telling you, but I'll tell you what, if none of it, if we look at what's depicted in Genesis right now, the way God is talking about man and how man has evil in his heart all the time, not part of the time, all the time, then, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of years of that, man does not change. I heard this in that podcast I was referring to earlier, and Joe Rogan was talking to this really learned guy. And I'm sorry, I like Joe Rogan. I don't listen to him every day. I think he's a very intelligent guy, but he's not intelligent spiritually when he talks the way he did and asks these questions. This is where I'm going to end it. People, when you think about the shit that goes on in the world, you think about all the bad shit. You think about all the evil. That's what's talked about in Genesis. The same evil that people say, well, why did God create that? Well, why does God allow, murderers and God does it. He does it. In this passage I read earlier from Genesis, God's not saying that man, that he put this on man so that man would do evil, or that he allows it for bad intentions. God gives us free will, yo. And he gives us an out, and that's Jesus. And if you follow Jesus in your heart, and listen, there's going to be compromises that are made. I make compromises, and I'll use the word compromise because that seems to be the best word. Here's what I'll say. You get down to brass tacks, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he lived on the earth. I believe he died for our sins. I believe I'm a sinner, and I believe I need him. And if I didn't have him in my life, I would be a hell of a different person. And that's not good. The world might like me. The secular world might approve of me. But Jesus is the big game changer. He is the necessary, essential part of what we need as human beings. So we're not like the people that are talked about right now before the flood comes. And that's what I'll talk about next, y'all. Peace, love, and understanding. Later.